We're learning about Kuk Sakdome at the Shabbos Ha'aretz with the parish of Avariner on page 52. We were talking about what seems to be a stira. On the one hand, the Jews who are observing Shemitah, are keeping the halachas of Shemitah, are considered to be great Giborim. They're heroic, mighty people. They're Giborim, Gibori Koch. I say Devorach, Chazal. Say on the Shomer Shvius, on those Jews who keep Shemitah, that they're Gibori Koch, they're great, powerful, courageous people, Gibori Koch. A Gibor is somebody who has to be Koveshes Yetzer, right? Ezo Gibor, a Koveshes Yetzer. A Gibor is a person. Not by us, a Gibor is not, does not define as someone who's able to conquer cities or countries, but a person who's able to control himself. So, the simple pshat in the gevura, in this strength of the Jews who keep Shemitah, is that they're able to overcome the natural need of a person to make money, to earn money, to become wealthy, to work, and to accomplish. To produce, and the Shomrei Shviyas, the Jews who keep Shemitah, are able to overcome, to be kovish, this natural need of a person to be successful and to be wealthy and so on. That's a simple pshat. But what Rav Kook was saying at the beginning of this chelik of the Maimer was that the whole Inyan of Shemitah is the return of the Jewish people as a nation and as individuals to that chefetz ha-pnimi ha-tivi, he called it, that natural inner desire of chukas ha-tov ha-tzedek, the longing for tov and for tzedek, shivyon, equality, and menucha, and so on. So then, what's the teva? On the one hand, you're saying that the teva, the nature of a person, is to be wealthy and to succeed, and we have to overcome that nature, and to force ourselves to keep Shemitah. So this would imply that the nature of a person is driven to success and. Adam la omo yulad, to work and so on, and to produce. And that we have to suspend that when it comes to Shemitah, we have to be strong and to hold back that natural desire. But then in the same breath, Rav Kook is saying the most natural desire of the Jewish people is that everybody should be equal and there shouldn't be any of this competition and that we should be in a state of menucha and that Shemitah we're resetting to that wonderful, wonderful natural mahalach of Am Yisrael. To live in this place of pashtus and tranquility, and so will the real teva please stand up? Like, what's the teva? Right, that's what we're talking about. So, what is the teva? And if the Shomer Shviyas, why are they called Giborim? What's the big gevura? What's the big gevura? Listen, we're all going to be keeping Shabbos in a few hours in Mitzvah Shem. Do you consider yourselves to be a big gibor to keep Shabbos? It's a gevura. No, because we feel, I mean, it could be for some people that it is a challenge that you might be in the middle of an important business deal or something, of course. But for the most part, we're able to say, it's a mechaya. Shabbos, I'm able to come back to that menucha, to that place that's quiet and that's real, and so on. So, what is it with Shemitah? So what we're learning, and it's the same thing with Shabbos, and with this we're going to be heading towards Rav Kook's explanation of Shemitah and Yovel. What we were learning before Yontiv is that there are two levels of Teva that are operating within each and every one of us, within Am Yisrael. There are two levels of Teva. There's the Teva Chitzoni, and there's the Teva Pnimi. The teva chitzoni, the more external teva of a person, is to be fiercely competitive and to outdo the other person and to make a lot of money and to work and dafke, you know, capitalism at its best. That's the external teva of a person, and that's something which is very real. And there's no question that the Shemitah, the person who's keeping Shemitah, has to overcome that teva chitzoni. But what Rav Kook is explaining is that that's only the teva chitzoni. The whole tachlis of overcoming the teva chitzoni is to be able to return to what? To the teva pnimi. The teva chitzoni is in the way. The teva pnimi, the inner, deep, essential character of a Jew is that place of pashtus and mesikus and menucha. Menucha doesn't mean to sleep a lot. Menucha is emes v'amuna, ruchnias. That's the teva pnimi. So Hashem instituted Shemitah as a way of forcing us to overcome that teva chitzoni, the external teva, to overcome that in order to be able to reunite with that teva hapnimi. And that does require a certain amount of gvura, because we're fighting against the insanity of living in this world. And the craziness of living in this world is, I can't take off a year. It's impossible for me to take off a year. And I've said a few times over the years, I remember many, many years ago, my wife and I were at a Rosh Hashanah, like a Shabbaton Rosh Hashanah thing for Balei Tshuva, where people, some of them were from, some of them were not from, but we had this very nice thing. And with a bunch of chevra somewhere, and I was talking to this guy. We were up late at night, Rosh Hashanah, talking, and there was this guy. I remember he was from Cherry Hill, and he owns a chain of furniture stores. This guy, and we were talking, and he was saying to me, because I was talking, we were talking all night with this chevra about Shabbos. They're not keeping mitzvahs, these people. I was talking to them a lot about, and he wanted to discuss this. He said to me, Rabbi, if I take off Shabbos, I'm done. I mean, that's 80% of my business is Shabbos. That's what he said. 80% is on Shabbos. I can't do it. So we're talking about that. It was like something to work out with, maybe with a Beis Din, to Shtar. You know, we're talking, discussing, to get him started, to try. He wanted to, but he... And we spoke about it a lot, and I didn't meet him again. And around 3 years later, I get a call from this guy. He says, you remember me? I'm so-and-so from Cherry Hill. We were Rosh Hashanah. I said, yeah, how you doing? What's going on? How's your business doing? How's your life doing? He said, all 7 stores closed on Shabbos. He has around the country stores. I don't know if they're still operating. I don't know the name of it, but he says, all the stores are closed. And I said, no, so are you surviving? He said, you can't survive. He said, I'm doing, my business is 50% better than it ever was before, my business. I said, how do you explain that? He said, I have no explanation how it is, and how I picked up this client and this customer, and then I had this from overseas, I started with sending back, the whole thing is different. And he said, I just wanted to thank you because we had that conversation a couple of years ago. And in the beginning, I just said, this is great, I can't do it, but I was thinking about it. And I spoke to different people, and I did this, I bought that, I sold this, you know, I did different things. And he said, I just wanted to thank you that I have a different, you know, have a different life. And now I go to shul, and I put on tefillin because he got through that. And he just called. And I was thinking about this, the gevura of this person, right? He broke through that external teva that says you can't do this. You have to work on Shabbos. You can't do it. Now that took tremendous gevura. It went against everything that he was taught his whole life. It's a family business. Probably he heard growing up from the time he was drinking his mother's milk that you have to, you know, whatever, succeed. And he went against everything he was taught, everything he had done. He went against his wife was not happy about that. He went against all of that, which required tremendous strength, giborikor. But now, if you would ask him about maybe, can you give up Shabbos? You know, go back to the old way. He said, "But I'm out of my mind. There's nothing that's more beautiful in the world than Shabbos." Because now he's able to come to that teva pnimi. The teva pnimi is Shabbos. That's the teva pnimi. When Mashiach comes, we're not going to be running our furniture chains. So he came to that. He came to that teva pnimi. Maybe in the beginning you still have to a little bit, not at the end. So that he came back to that teva pnimi, and in that teva pnimi is the most beautiful thing in his life. He wouldn't give it up for anything. But in order to get to that teva pnimi, he had to get through the teva chitzoni, and we fight with that. We resist that. So Hashem gives us certain things like Shemitah and Shabbos to force us. It's like you take him a shigna to tie him down, to give him a shot and help him get better, to force us to be able to come back to that which we really want and we really enjoy. And Hashem forces us to that place, because we're not on our own. We're not going to do it. We're just going to this guy. If he didn't have that gevura, if he didn't force himself, he'd be having more business on Shabbos now. He wouldn't have any menucha. But once you get to that place, that's the teva pnimi, and this is the mitzvahs of who I am. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about. It's not a steer at all. When he spoke about that equality of Shemitah and the menucha of Shemitah, he said that's the chefetz ha-pnimi, he called it. The inner longing of Am Yisrael is to come to that. The external longing of a person is to beat the next guy and to make it. That's the, you know, to keep things up on Shabbos and Shemitah. So that's what Rav Kook is saying, is that Shemitah is a return to the by overcoming that that nature of Adam la'omo yulad and coming to the inner chefes apnimi of emes v'amuna, menuchas emes v'amuna, so then that's a taste of Mashiach already. That's the avod of Mashiach. So that's what he's explaining. We're in the middle of page 52, a little bit higher than the middle, and he's bringing the famous Rambam. First he brings the Mishnah. Omo Chazal, is this Rav Aviner? Ezu gibra kovish es Yitzro? She Yitzro mafir letzad ha-pnimi shelo. The Yetzahara is causing us to forget or to be distracted from the tzad ha-pnimi, from the true teva, from the deepest teva. Lot Seisel Hapo, HaRambam Hilchas Gerushin. I don't think there's anybody here that never saw this Rambam. It's one of the most famous. The Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin Paskin, Shemisha Mukhiyev Mitzad Hadin, Lot Seis Get Li Ishto, that if somebody is chayev according to halacha to give a get to his wife, as the Bezdin has determined that this guy has to get, he's got to give his wife a get. So, veinene rotzalosais, and the guy does not want to give a get. So the Rambam brings makin oso, the Gemara that says makin oso, the Bezdin beats this guy up ad sheyomer oitzani, until he says I want to give a get. So of course that people look at that, somebody from outside that looks at this Rambam says that this is, what do you mean? Ad sheyomer oitzani. The guy doesn't want to give a get. Akid dekach, that you have to beat the guy up and threaten him, whatever it is, until he says I want to. But aren't those words meaningless, right? I want to. He doesn't want to. And I think, I don't know if I shared with you this 2 weeks ago, but I remember once being on a bezin for a get in Queens. I was there, I used to, a lot of times, Rabbi Steinberg, and I was in the bezin there for a get. And it had already been finalized that they were going to get divorced, whatever it was, therapy, all these different things. And it wasn't possible for her to live with this guy. They were nice people. It wasn't going. So So in the when the there's a whole nusach that the person who's giving the get is a that he has to say, and one of the main in order for the get to be effective, one of the main things he has to say is, "I'm giving this get by my own free will and volition." In other words, I want to give this get because you can't force a person to give a get. So at least nowadays we can't do such a thing. So he has to say, "I am giving this get by my own free will and volition." That's part of what he has to say. So most of the time when we had a get, the guy was saying that with a tremendous emotion and conviction, like, I'm getting out of this, you know? But this particular guy was Rachmanis. So he was reading this thing, and he was reading the whole Nusach. There's a lot to read about. I, so-and-so, my name, the son of so from so-and-so. He has to read the whole thing. And he says, and in front of the rabbi, so-and-so, and rabbi, so-and-so, rabbi, so-and-so, I've been giving this get to my wife, the name of so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so from so-and-so, by my own free will and volition. So this guy, when he's saying that, he goes, no. He goes like this, no. By my own free will, no. And Rabbi Steinbeck says to him, what do you mean, no? He says, no, what can I tell you? He says, I love her, and I can't say that I'm happy, you know. So he says, okay, let's what's it called, like in court, what do you, recess?
Adjourn.
For a couple minutes over here. So we go with this guy in the other room, and I said, listen, uncle, we went through this already, you know, we met with you, we spoke to you, and the therapist, and you already said you understand, and you're giving a get, and so according to halacha, it has to be right. We can't force you. It has to be your own free will. He says, no, I know, I know. We spoke about it. I'm sorry, and I know it's the right thing to do, and I apologize, and I understand. Okay, so the sofa is waiting. You understand the whole thing. So we all go back into the room, and we start from the beginning. So and so younger than that. This is the daughter. She's the daughter of so and so from so and so. This in this place in front of the rabbis. So and so and so. I am giving this will by my own free will. And he stops. He goes, oy. It happened four times, and even then we were all very uncomfortable. Obviously, it's just a Rachmanis, and she is angry. The lady was there. She is like angry. Like, you know, look what I, Liz, what I'm trying to do. So Rachmanis, and so my assignment was, every time he asked me to talk to the girl. So I went and spoke to the girl, and I said, you know, maybe, she says, there's nothing to talk about here. I said, because I was trying to get, you know, maybe you could reconsider. She says, no. Done. Finished. So we were talking about this Rambam, you know. We said that, like, we felt like we were forcing him to say, right, son. He was very uncomfortable. Right, son. So what does that mean? Right, son. The guy doesn't want to give a get. He doesn't want to give a get. So it's a game. Do we make him say these magic words? He says, so finally the guy said, without giving a krech, so without stopping, without a tear, he finally said, by my own free will and volition. So that's magic? So what the Rambam says, of course, you all know, the Rambam says, the guy's saying, Rotsani, I want to give a get, because they're beating him up. So then it's just Stam, he's saying words. Ela Omer HaRambam, so the Rambam says, Shebipnimi Yiso Hu Achein Reitz Elas Esais. So the Rambam tells us there are two levels of will. The external will is, I don't want to give a get to my wife. I'm not giving her the get. But the internal will is to do what halacha has required of him. Again, in the case of this guy back in Queens, emotionally he wasn't there, but he understood that the Beis Din said, because of what's happened in this marriage and because of how your wife has been treated, and because of what the therapist is saying, that the proper thing for you to do at this point in your life is to free your wife. So what he was saying when he was correcting and crying is, I don't want to do that. You know, I love her. I don't want this to happen. But when he finally said, by my own free will, he wasn't saying how I feel emotionally. He was saying, by my own free will, which is the deepest will of a Jew, which is to do what the Beis Din has determined is the right thing to do. So he might not be feeling that right now. He's not feeling that. But the Nefesh HaLakis is saying, Rotza Ani. The inner will of the Nefesh HaLakis is saying, I want to do the right thing. It's sad, chaval, it's tragic, but I want to give her a get because that is the right thing. She should be getting the get from me at this point. It's been enough already. And I want to do that. And these are the two levels of will. And each of these levels are very, very layered and complicated. But those are the two basic levels. There's a teva chitzani, and there's a teva pnimi. So sometimes a person has to be forced to, Hashem forces Am Yisrael to shut down for the year. And then it requires a certain gevura. No, we resist that. But then, deeper inside of us, of Am Yisrael, there's that Rotza Ani. Yes, we want to do this, even though we're going to lose all the money, and even though my whole business might fall apart, v'chule v'chule. Rotza Ani, I want to do God's will. And then what's amazing is, like the guy with the furniture, is that there's this thing about it too, that when he does God's will, that inner, which is the inner voice, that called him a madak inside of him, that when he lives that way, even after even when it seems that talking not necessarily there's a good end to the story of the furniture. Sometimes it's not such a nice ending like the guy in Cherry Hill. And the guy loses talking a lot of money. But I haven't met people, maybe you have met people, I have not met people who regret keeping Shabbos. I have not met people like that. I'm saying Bali Tshuva. I'm not talking about people who keep Shabbos the whole life. I'm talking about people who were Gibor and they broke through and they said, okay, I'm going to keep Shabbos. Or I read different things by Jews that kept Shemitah, that not religious people that kept Shemitah. I never ever met somebody who regretted doing what Hashem wants. I never met that. You meet from people that talk like that. That's something else. That has to do with psychology. That's not religion. That's a very sad thing. I'm not going into that. We all know about that. But to say to somebody that started keeping Shabbos, even if it cost them a lot of money, and it was very hard. And even if he had the family that this one's upset and that one says, I never met anybody, I'm doing this for a lot of years, talking to people, I never met somebody who said to me, boy, did I make a mistake by keeping Shabbos. I never met somebody like that. I've met people all the time that said, boy, I wish I would have kept it earlier. In other words, meaning, you would wish you would have lost 80% of your business earlier? No, I wish I would have been keeping Shabbos. And that is the teva pnimi of a Jew, is to do Hashem's will. But sometimes, and it's hard for modern people to understand this, sometimes to have to be forced to do that, that any thought nowadays of coercion or force is obviously, modern people can't handle that at all. That's why we can't force our kids to. So if anybody's thinking, I'm going to force my kid and beat him up to go to shul tomorrow, Achiyami writes on, please, don't do that. Just let him stay in bed. But I learned the Rambam. The Rambam says that you really want to go to shul. And he says, no, I don't want to go to shul. So then you start that. You take the pillow first. You start off, boom, and then patch. And it says, and then you take the Rambam. The Rambam says, Maishik, the Rambam says you're gonna say right to Ani. Says, I don't know, I don't believe in the Rambam, and I want to sleep late, I'm not going to shul. So be careful, please don't do this. Not because it wouldn't work, but it would just cost too much for therapy until he comes around. But the pnimi is that, the emes is that, the, of course, he wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. And that same kid that's not getting up for shul, and he's rolling his eyes, and he says, leave me alone. I don't believe in the Rambam. I don't care about that. I don't want to go. Lo rotze ani, lo rotze. Rotze ani? No. Lo rotze ani. All right? Ani lo rotze. That same kid, if it came down to it, I'm not talking about a 6-year-old boy. But I'm talking about a teenager. If it came down to it, and it was he was together with us, and it was with the Rishayim Yimach Shemam, and it was Dayal Kiddush Hashem. He would also Dayal Kiddush Hashem with his parents. He would say, "Right, Zani, I want to be a Jew." He would do it. He doesn't know that he because he has the Yetzer, and the Yetzer the rest, and whatever it is. He's a kid, so he's got all this stuff going on in his head. But all that is, and that requires a certain gvura for him to break through that. It does require gvura for a kid to break through it and to say, "I'm going to shul, even though I don't want to go. I'm going to go." And then maybe as he grows up, he'll come to that place that says, "You know, I really do want to go." I think that's probably the story that most of us live through. That when we were kids, I don't want to, but then I pushed myself, or my father pushed me, whatever, and now, Rotsani, I do want to. Because there are these two levels of Teva that are always at work within us. So that's how we understand. Rav Kook is speaking about the Chevetz HaPnimi, the inner longing and desire, is not to compete with other people, is to be b'shalom, and to be sitting and learning menucha, and to be able to be with the family, not to be running around and this and that, and opening up another branch. That's not the teva apnim. The chefetz apnim is not. That's the chefetz achitzoni. And Shemitah was institutionalized by Hashem for the entire Jewish people to say, Rotzani. In other words, to come to that truth, which we'll see until Yovel, it doesn't necessarily work. It might take seven cycles of Shemitah to come to for the world to be brought to a place of saying, Rotzani. Just like we know that there are many slaves that when it comes to Shemitah, they say what? By Shemitah, what do they say? I have to see you. Lo Eitzei Chavshi. By Shemitah, the slave is allowed to say, I don't want this business. I want to work. Lo Eitzei Chavshi. Listen to the words. I don't want to be free. Lo Eitzei Chavshi. Those are the words of the Torah. Lo Eitzei Chavshi. I don't want to be free. Normally you say to be chavshi is a nice thing. He says, Lo Eitzei Chavshi. You say, you're a slave. Ahavti is Adoni. I love my master. Azishti. I love my life. I don't have to worry. Everything's taken care of. My master's a good guy. My owner, he's a good guy. I don't want to go. Is there anything that's more tragic than that? That a human being that wants to be a slave? So Shemitah could still get away with that. Shemitah could still get away with saying, Lo Eitzei Chavshi. Because it's not yet Yovel. Yovel is Amud Echeiru, the Zohar calls it, the world of freedom. And in that place of Yovel, a person says, Ani Rotzei Liot Chavshi. Ani Chayav Liot Chavshi. I can't live without being my own person. But by Shemitah, it's not finished. That's what we're going to get to Yovel. It's not finished. So Shemitah, there still could be that feeling of being pushed and forced and coerced. So Shemitah, you can still say, Lo Yitzei Chavshi, I don't want to be free. I don't want to be free. I want to continue to work for this guy. I want to continue with my work, with my fields, with my business. I don't want Lo Yitzei Chavshi. So then Hashem gives us a Shemitah over the head and says, and we say, okay, what am I going to do? Rotzani. In the way that Hashem does things. Obviously, it can't be not by police, not by the army, but Hashem's will. That's the Rambam. Elo imay Rambam should be pnimiyu, so who achein rotze lasazos. In his pnimius, he wants to do this. He wants to do the right thing. Nishmaso rotze lasaz divrei chachamim. This guy with the get, his neshama wants to do what the Bezdin is telling him. And the Bezdin is telling him, listen, you got to give your wife a get already. And he wants to, his neshama wants that. But his guf, and could be even his nefesh and his ruach, don't want to. But his neshama wants to do what Bezdin says. Therefore, when he says the magic words, Rotzani, or I'm doing this by my own free will, he's expressing his deepest will. He's expressing his deepest will. His deepest will is the will of the neshama. That's his deepest will. The resistance was his external will. His deepest will is the neshama speaking. And now the neshama is speaking. Just like, God forbid, there's a time of Kiddush Hashem, and that 16-year-old who didn't want to go to shul, And now he's saying, I'm a Jew and you can kill me. That's his neshama talking. When he was lying in bed saying, I don't want to go to shul. I don't care about the Rambam. That was his goof. That was his goof talking. The goof of a 16-year-old boy was talking and saying, I'm not going to shul. Now, when he's standing there, and the Nazis are standing around him, and they're holding a gun to him, you hear whatever, or whichever Malchus it is at that time, and he says, I'm a Jew, and I'm going to die as a Jew. So then, his neshama is talking. Remember that guy, Pearl? I always think about him. Is that his name?
Daniel
Pearl. Remember that Meisa?
Yeah.
Oh, Meisa. Yeah, the guy, he wasn't a from guy. I think he was married.
To a Chinese girl.
And he died such a thing, a Kiddush Hashem, that he made for the whole world. I don't know in how many years there wasn't such a Kiddush Hashem the way he died. That he said, I don't remember the exact lashon, but he said, I'm a Jew, born to Jewish parents. He said, such the way he said it. It was Kaddish Shem Shemayim. The guy was married to a Chinese person. He said, that last moment of his life, he was talking the words of the neshama. Could be he didn't say that in a long time. I'm a Jew. My parents are Jewish. Because if he would have lived like that, he wouldn't have married a Chinese girl. Or she would have been a converted Chinese girl, but he wouldn't have, nothing against Chinese. But she wasn't Jewish.
So was the case? It was a reporter or something?
Yeah. He was a reporter. Yeah, these reporters. He had to go davka to this place. He was crazy. He went to the. He was. Where was it?
His name was Pearl.
In Pakistan, Pearl. Yeah, Daniel Pearl.
For the Wall Street Journal.
For the Wall Street Journal. He was a chush of a journalist.
Pakistan?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's already a while, but he said in front of the whole world. He said, "I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew." His family was originally in Tel Aviv or something. He was talking about. He has family in Tel Aviv. I don't know, he said something like that. And then they cut his head off. So he said those are his final parting words. And it could be the first time in his life, just as he was dying, it was the first time that his neshama spoke. Until that time, his goof, maybe his nefesh, was talking. But now, just as they're standing there, they were showing him to cut his head off. His neshama said, I'm a Yid. I was born a Jew, and I'm going to die a Jew. So he said, as Mekadosh Shemayim, what a Kabbalah's upon him he must have had when he came to the next world, such a thing, to leave the world in such a way. And that's what the Rambam is saying. There's the guf that talks, and there's the neshama that's talking. And it's not just by such extreme cases, like the kid that's lying in bed Shabbos morning, or a guy that's about to be killed. It's the same thing with us. That there are two levels of will. And you have to stop yourself and to try this. We're learning this morning, Chassidus, to take hold of yourself and to think, who's talking right now? Is my guf talking or is my neshama talking? Is my guf talking or is my neshama talking? When you have a taiva to look at something you shouldn't be looking at, who's talking? Is that my guf or is that my neshama? When you're going to overeat, is that my guf or is that my neshama? I mean, you feel like saying a word of Lashon Hara. Is that my goof? Is that my neshama? Who's talking? Who am I listening to? You feel that the goof is the teva. You feel that your nature is driving you to indulge in this taiva, whether it's achila or whatever, arayas. You feel that you feel like this is I want this right now. But that I is not the emes. It's not the I. It's the eye of the goof. It's not I. It's the eye. It's the goof. The eye of the neshama doesn't want to do that, and that's why afterwards you feel lousy. You don't feel good because your neshama is sibrochen. After you indulged, you don't feel good. You feel bad, even though you might not be able to explain why you feel bad, but you feel bad.
There's no hybrid.
No what?
Hybrid.
No
combination.
No, it's la shem or la zazo. It's Gan Eden or Gehenna. No. People want to think and make believe and make up. And there are lots of people that talk about that and write books and poems and make speeches to try to keila there's some sort of a gray. There's a hybrid. No. It's either you're La Hashem or you're La Azazel. Every choice. The Bedichev says such a thing. He was a very nice person, the Bedichev. You know that.
Your grandson's named it.
Huh? Yeah. Maybe it's hard. It's either Lashem or it's Lazazel. Everything that you think is in between is you're deluding yourself. Every choice that we make in life is Lashem or it's Lazazel. Try for a few hours to be honest about that. It's either Lashem or it's Lazazel. It's there or it's there. Those are the two choices. There's nothing in between. All the Diburim of in between are the Diburim of the Yetzer Hara. All of those speeches that you hear inside your head about, you know, always fancy talks like this and like that. It's all like politicians. All those Diburim, you know, the second a politician opens his mouth, you see right away, you don't have to, that's not if he opens his mouth, just when you look at him. You see it's a chakra, right? The second it starts with a speech, it's a shaker. You already know it's a shaker. All the Diburim in between, that after all, it's not so extreme, there's a gray area, and so on. If you have a question, go talk to an Adam Gadol and ask a Shailen Halacha, you see what the Halacha is. And if the Halacha says that under these circumstances, it's okay, that means it's Lashem. And don't feel bad. I always tell it to people. I had this whole thing with my uncle, Olav Shalom, my father, Aleim Shalom, the two brothers, they were so stubborn, the two of them, they were like such akshonim, and to eat on Yom Kippur, what I had with each one of them, with my uncle, Itzu, what I spent hours talking to him, and my father, this, and each one gave me the same thing, that I didn't eat in concentration camp, and I'm not eating now. But Daddy, the doctor says that you have to, and according to Halacha, you have to eat. He says, I don't need any Yom Kippur. So, you have to eat, because that's the halacha. That's what Hashem wants. Now, Hashem doesn't want Jews to eat any Yom Kippur. I said, Hashem doesn't want Jews, but Hashem wants this Jew to eat any Yom Kippur. And eventually, you know, I got there, but it was, mamish, each it was a work, each one. And then, even then, they weren't doing what they were supposed to. It wasn't what they were supposed to. It was not the way they should have. According to Allah. So then you have a shayla. So is this person supposed to eat Yom Kippur? And the halacha says, yes. Not only are you supposed to, but of course, it's a mitzvah to eat Yom Kippur. And I kept on telling them, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Hashem wants you to. So they both said the same thing. They look at my mother. He looks at my mother. He says, yeah. Have you heard that Hashem says for a Jew to eat Yom Kippur? I said, but my father's not dumb. My father knows there's a halacha like that. But b'shas ma'isi, when it came to actually eating Yom Kippur, my father says, here you go. He calls himself a rabbi. He says, I should eat Yom Kippur. Yeah, he has a thing that a rabbi should tell the truth, eat Yom Kippur. And I'm saying, but that it's not about anything like that. It's just that's what Hashem, it says, you know what Hashem, wants. You know that. These were the conversations going on. Because then if you ask a shayla, and the psak is that you have to eat, then don't feel bad about it at all. Then you say, L'shem yichu k'tshubichu shchinte. Hini mekayim mitzvos asay, v'nishmat amoyed l'nafshei seichem. Hashem, I'm doing your will, which says that I should eat. That's not a gray zone, you hear? That's not hybrid. That's ratzon Hashem that I should eat on Yom Kippur. And if there's something else in life where there's a shayla, and you don't know how to handle the situation, should I go to this cousin's wedding? The cousin's marrying in a funny place, and I don't know what to do. So then you go, if the rabbi says, no, you can't, okay. If the rabbi says, you should go, then you go, b'simcha. B'simcha. It's not a gray zone. It's the Ratzon Hashem. It's not hybrid. It's Hashem's will. And you do that b'simcha. Not with regret, not with remorse, not, oh, what could I do, like the guy in the desert. B'simcha. There's no such thing. It's either Lashem, it's Lazazel. Nothing in between. It's either Hashem's will, or it's against Hashem's will. Everything else is a shaker. It's all speeches from the Yetzer Hara. Everything else is.
If the
Yetzer
Hara is interesting,
Shem Alabal.
If the
Yetzer
Hara is interesting, then
Hashem
is interesting.
Let Shem Alabal. Yeah. That's exactly what the Beditra brings. That's what happened by Elyonovi. Elyonovi, they wanted to have a hybrid. They wanted to believe in Hashem, and they also wanted to serve Baal. They also wanted to have, because we don't understand that Yetzer Hara, but that was a big Yetzer Hara. So they wanted to go to Shul, and they also wanted to go to Baal. And Elyonovi said, "Ain't davar kaze. It's Lashem, Ola Baal. Make up your mind." Same thing by Eglazov. Mi Lashem Elai. You with me? You with Hashem, or you against him? Those are the only two choices. There's no hybrid. Either for or against. Every choice we make in life, how we're going to keep this Shabbos, what kind of Shabbos is going to be, and the decisions we make, ben on the chaver, ben on the makom, over every single decision is Hashem or Baal. That's it. Mi Hashem Elai. That's one side of the page. You can fold it in half. Hashem. Or you want to say Gan Eden, Gehenna, if you like that. Gan Eden, Gehenna. Some people like that. Gan Eden, Gehenna. Two sides of the page. Fold it. And then you have all the choices of the day that you have. Write them on top. And then write down which category. Gan Eden, Gehenna. That's what it is. The whole program. It's not complicated. All the complications come from the Yetzer that makes all kinds of maiselach in the head to figure out some way to kasher up this shekets, you know, with all kinds of svaras, to make something kosher with all kinds of svaras. Which is, you know, that's how you start to think right away. If you spent a lot of money on something and it turns out that it's not acceptable, it's not kosher, so you start, your mind right away goes to that place, maybe there's a rabbi that says this is okay. How does one find that rabbi? Where's that rabbi that says this is okay?
Google it.
Okay. So then there are people that they say, you know what, it's safer in general just to daven by a rabbi that says those kind of things. And that's how these things all developed, conservative reform. How did all these things happen? Like, what happened? Where do we go like that? Because you want to do certain things. The Orthodox rabbi says, you can't do that. The other rabbi says, you can't do that. You want to do that. It's involving some money, or it's involving some other taiva. Taiva's mom, taiva's nosh. Whatever the taiva is involving. So, who's the good rabbi? This is the good rabbi. You go to the good rabbi. The good rabbi is the one that tells you what you wanted to hear. The bad rabbi is the one that says what you don't want to hear. And that's what we do. So all these times, these are all games that we play inside of our heads. with the two levels, it's always the same thing. With the two levels of Rotsani. Who's talking right now? The next time you have an urge to do something that's questionable, ask yourself, who is talking? Is it my neshama talking, or is it my guf talking? Who's talking? That's the most straightforward bureau of the choice that you're making. Who's talking? And that's exactly what he's explaining here. The true teva of this guy is that he wants to give the get, because the bezin said he has to give a get. That's the true teva. That's really what he wants. That's what his neshama wants. If whether physically or figuratively, he needs to get beaten. And shoivim is yitzro, because to break that external will, to break through that external will. You know how much we're capable of doing if we would only break through the external will. You know how much our kids are capable of doing if we would be able to break through the external will, but we don't know how to do that. In the old days, they would just smack you. So you could talk to some kid that when he was growing up, he was a kid also that couldn't get out of bed to go to shul. I can't. And for whatever reason, it ended up, how it happened, Hashgacha Pradis, the guy ends up like, you know, in Sahel. You know, he ends up in the Israeli army. And he finds out, I can get up in the morning. Because he's going to tell his commanding officer, or whoever he says, I had a rough night. I was up with my girlfriend, or I was bowling. I can't get up this morning. You tell that to the Ramat Kal, or whoever you got over hanging, standing over you. Tell him I'm taking off today. The way they do in school, right? No minion today. So he goes to the army. Oh, the army. I'm not getting up today. You're not getting up today. He takes you by ears and hang you up on a post. You're not getting up today. Yeah, we're hanging you up today. That's how you're getting up today. Doesn't want to get up. But you know, it's 2022. We're not in the army. Bunch of babies. So we never. When is the neshama ever talking? My generation is looking at the one that's the next generation. Can't believe like what is this stuff? My parents' generation looked at us. What's the story with you? Right? And that's how it goes. Like, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you getting up? What's the problem? Why can't you deal with this situation? Why is this, you're stressing me out speech? Like, you know, I feel very, I don't feel validated speech. You get into these conversations. The older people now, it's already, as long as you're a parent and you have a teenager, you already can. But if you're already older than that, you get into these conversations, I feel threatened by what you're saying. You ever had this conversation? I feel threatened by what you're saying. What? What happened? What did I say? What's the threat? Meaning, translate, you're disagreeing with me. We're living in woke, right? I disagree with you. How am I threatening you? You're threatening me. You're not validating me. I feel bad. When I walk away from this, I'm going to feel bad. So, the neshama's talking. Who are you talking to? When you talk to somebody nowadays, you talk to not just a kid. You see, you talk now 20-year-old, 30-year-old. Who are you talking to, Bechlal? To begin with, you can't talk for more than 5 minutes, and to say something that's against what that person wants, that they're not feeling good about that, they're not feeling validated by you. Because I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. The whole thing is going on in the country with racism and equality and the redefinition of culture, of common sense that's happening. It was a slow process for thousands of years, but now, like, it's crazy. Before Mashiach, that you can't talk to anybody, and if there's something that there's a disagreement, no one's able to say the truth. No one's able to say the truth. We have, for instance, I'm just going to give you an example that I think we all understand. There's a major problem with crime going on in the United States of America. You heard that, right? There's people are shooting and going. There's all kinds of things, crazy stuff going on.
110 a day.
That's what's going on. 110.
Shooting, 110 a day.
Okay. So the problem is, they would make you think that the problem is gun control. Like, that's the problem, is gun control. Listen, there's a big problem with guns. But everybody in his right mind knows that if a guy is a murderer, he'll find a gun. You and I can go right now. It'll take us 15 minutes. We can go to Cornego or Caffrey. We can go to Far Rockaway if you'd like, or if you want to go in some other direction. And it doesn't take 10, 15 minutes. You have a couple of dollars. You whisper to one guy's ear, I could use this type of gun, this type of rifle. 10, 15 minutes. You meet the guy somewhere upstairs on a roof, and you have a gun. Those guys are always going to get the guns. There's never been a problem. Just say the truth, that there's a culture of killing in America among certain groups of people that's more than by others. Talk about it. Try to help them. Try to educate. Try to be honest. There's a culture of killing. And the ones who are suffering most are their own people. Those are the ones, it's Rachmanis on them, because they're nice, good people. The vast majority of them are wonderful, kind, good people, and the murderers are killing them, and they're suffering. And no one's saying the truth. And if you say the truth, you're a racist. You're finished. You can't talk. All of this is the sheker of what's called hybrid. That's where it begins. It's called hybrid sheker. Say the truth. The truth is that this is that these are people that from the time that they're in the world, they're born, bred in a world of violence, of killing, of murdering, of stealing. You hear what's going on in San Francisco? It's Africa. People walk into stores. You can walk to a CVS over there, and they can't even prosecute you for taking things off the shelf. They have pictures of guys coming in there and taking things off the shelf and putting it in their bags. You can't do anything. It's all on the camera. You can't do anything. If you say a word, you're a racist. You're Russia. And if one of those chevra are killing somebody, they're not allowed to say on the news, the media's not allowed to say, what's the color of his skin? You're not allowed to say. But otherwise, it's a white supremacist. But you can't say the color of the skin. The vast majority of killing in the States is taking place by such people. Again, I'm not saying that the vast majority are not good people, but the vast majority of murders are taking place by people of color. That's the vast majority. That's just numbers. You could argue that you could say, so something is wrong with that chevra. And maybe we could help. Maybe something could be done. If their leaders would be talking to them about getting help, and we would work together to try to help them. Good. No, you're not allowed to say that. So you have to make believe that everything's like this, and it's the same like everybody, and it's a problem with guns, and if only we get rid of the guns, then everybody's going to be fine. No one's going to kill anybody. And if you say, well, you need to put more guns in the hands of people, every teacher should have a gun. They should have to, there was in Illinois, I think, that they should train the teachers how to have a gun. I agree with that 100%. That the teachers should be trained. They're not going to be murdering anybody. They're not going to be killing little children, the teachers. But you can't say that. So instead, what are we going to do? Instead, 19 children get killed. And everybody's talking about stam dibur ba'alma, like nothing. They're not talking the truth. And you can't say anything. That's what it's come to. And the neshama is not allowed to talk. I'm not even talking about the neshama of a Jew. Even the most basic level of a human being to be able to speak his mind and to be able to say the truth of what's going on, you're not allowed to. And we go through that individually in a different madrega every time we have this inyum with the Yetzer, to be dishonest. To be dishonest. We're all part of that woke business. It's just a different madrega, not like this. But inside of us, there's this culture, cancel culture, whatever. Inside of us, we do the same thing all the time. How we cancel the voice of the Yetzer HaTov, of the side of Elokus. We cancel it. And make all kinds of stories that, well, this is like this, this is like that. And I how could it be that I'm not allowed to do this? Which is another way of saying I'm not being validated. It's all just the same thing. It's just became much more open now and less restrained. It's the same thing. Hateva Pnimi, the last paragraph. Hateva Pnimi Shel Am Yisrael Hu Tzedek. The true teva of Am Yisrael is tzedek, is shmita, is Shabbos, is everybody being treated nicely and fairly and shivyon v'tov, to be equal and tov and good. Teva is a kaim tamid b'pnimius of Am Yisrael. That teva is always there in the pnimius of Am Yisrael. Ela shebechol ha'shodim hu'oshud. However, during the 6 years of the shmita cycle, we forget and we get oppressed and we're tired and we get. And people don't have enough money, we're not managing, and so on and so forth. But the teva, the true teva of Am Yisrael, when it comes to Shemitah, breaks through. Hashem gave a Shemitah, and he gives a clap, and he says, you better do this, you have to do this. And then the Neshama of Am Yisrael says, Reitzani, and we do it. Nasev Neshama, and we do it. And then the teva, we are able to discover the true teva. The true teva is, I like this. Just like the guy in Cherry Hill. I like Shabbos. I like this. This is good. I can't believe I didn't do this my whole life. I wish somebody would have told me about this when I was younger. I love this. Mrs. Ashmita Matim Lateva Ish Israeli. Because when are you happy? When are you besimcha? When you're in your teva. When you're home. That's when you feel happy. Ve'im ba mishum kibush ateva. You don't have to conquer your teva. And that's all we heard growing up is this business of kibush and kibush and kibush, and that's why kids start to say, I don't want to be a kovish. I don't want to be a. I'm not a soldier. I don't want to be a warrior. I just want to be a kid. Leave me alone. Every single shmuz they heard growing up was kovish yisitzo, kibush, 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 kibush. I can't do that. But that is that the problem is that there's this external teva. Allah Gavurish, Allah Dibu Chazal, Giborikoch Osei Devaro, that the Shomesh Shemitah called Giborikoch Osei Devaro, he kibush a Yetzer Marfil a Tevelis Galus. That's being kovish the Yetzer, the external Yetzer, in order to come to the true Yetzer, the true Toiv, the Pnimius, to allow the true Teva to be Mizgala, to reveal the true Teva. And instead of focusing in our education nowadays, which you have to focus on that true Teva of who you are, And the Indian of fighting the Yetzer is only Hechatimsa to get through the two Teva. Instead, it's still the same speeches about conquering the Yetzer, conquering the Yetzer, conquering the Yetzer. And why should I conquer the Yetzer? Like, what do I gain out of that? I have much more fun with the Yetzer than I do with you. Like, why should I conquer the Yetzer? You have to give a person a reason to fight, no? When an army doesn't feel it has any reason to fight, they lose. So you're telling kids a million times, you got to fight, you got to conquer. And the kid's thinking, why? Why? So I should be like you? Well, why should I be like you? Like, what fun do you have? You look like the most boring, lifeless person I ever met. I have a great time. What do you do Saturday night? I'm having a ball. You got to conquer that. Why? See, they don't know anything about what the tachlis of all this is for. It's just you have to conquer. But if you're not fighting for a cause, what kind of a fight is it going to be? What's the cause you're fighting for? So when you're younger, it's to please your parents. But that wears off pretty fast nowadays. But what's your cause? What's the taif? What's your neshama? Who's your neshama? Who are you? That nobody's told. So all they're told is conquer that, conquer that. And they don't know why. And no one's explained to them why. So the answer is, because then in Olam Haba, it's going to be very good for you. I'll take a chance. Okay. You bet your way, I bet my way. Right now I'm having a good time. I mean, that's the whole thing. Because he doesn't know. He doesn't know his true teva. Unless we introduce our children to the teva apnimi and ourselves, then it's all about conquering. For what war am I fighting? I don't know who I'm fighting for. I don't feel like fighting. I don't know what I'm fighting for. And if you don't know what you're fighting for, you don't feel like fighting, and you're, to begin with, not particularly a courageous person, so then you lose. That's just it. To conquer the false teva, the teva that's not real. Shirachash la'odim b'rabos Hashem over the 6 years that again, hama'akev is a teva amiti milahofia. Sheish shonim hoya teva amiti chanuk v'kavush. For 6 years, the true teva was suffocating, and then finally by Shemitah, same thing during the 6 days of the week, the true teva is suffocating. Shabbos, chofshi. Shabbos. What we're going to see the next thing we're going to be talking about is that Shemitah alone without Yovel doesn't clinch it, because there's still that thing that says lo yitzei chofshi. There's still that problem understanding it. So Bez Hashem, we're going to continue next time. There's a little conversation here, but afterwards we'll continue on page 55. Sorry. Okay, I'll look at the Shabbos.